Hi everyone, this is Ryan from the Debug Log. Yes, that's right, Ryan. Bobina and Andrew have finally let me do my own intro, which I'm sure they will soon regret. This week in episode 10, we are talking about version control. Version control is an important aspect of every game project. It helps keep teams organized, provides a history of work, and can really save your butt sometimes. In this episode, we're going to discuss the many purposes of version control, address some of the daunting aspects of using version control, and examine the many options there are available to developers. And as usual, we have the game of the week. So devs, grab a beverage, sit back, and enjoy the Debug Log episode 10. Hopefully they let me do this again. Enjoy.
All right, Eduardo, Zach. Join that Zencast. Go to the Skype.
You're always so demanding, Andrew.
Do it.
You do it. All right, sir.
Do it now. Do it later.
Do it now. Get in the chopper. Sweet.
You're listening to the Debug Log, a podcast about Unity game development. My name's Andrew Curry.
I'm Obino Opara.
I'm Zach Schneider.
I'm Ryan Kilgore.
So yes, just another public service announcement for the Debug Log, and that is to, you know, thank you guys for all the reviews that you've written on iTunes, because they really, really are helping us out with our reach and how we're able to reach different developers.
You always find the intro so amusing.
Exactly, because I always mess up on it. That's the problem. Anyway, so I just wanted to keep encouraging you guys to keep writing those reviews, because, like I said, it helps us out and helps us, you know, gain new followers, gain new, the word that we coined last time, which is our loggers and TDLers, to join the clan or whatever. So keep writing us reviews, because they really, really, really are helping us. Thank you.
Yes.
So
tonight's episode is one that we've been thinking about for, it's another one that we've been thinking about for a long, long time. But funny enough, like an hour before we were about to record this episode, another person on our Debug Lounge, our Facebook group, private Facebook group, join us, email us at, or sign up for the newsletter, The Loop, on our website, and you'll get access to it. Castello Nico, he's a first-time member today, literally, hours ago. And his first post in the group was about tonight's topic. And tonight's topic is basically version control. Version control is a big topic. We're going to try to go over quickly some of a survey of the version control options that are out there and some of the best practices, as usual. Like we said, we're kind of taking a survey through some of the bigger topics of game development before we really dive in later on. So version control, I think this will be a lot of fun. So before we get started and dive into the options that are out there, first let's go into what version control is for the people out there who have no idea. Ryan.
Yeah, Ryan.
You said you were going to throw it to me, not just leave it hanging in the air.
I did.
That wasn't a toss. Okay. Anyway.
That was like a lob.
It just hit me in the forehead. I'm like, what? Version control, it's a very important sort of practice within an organization or a team that is basically helps keep your code base sort of safe, consistent. Basically what version control is a central location where, say, all your source code and assets are stored. And as you work on those assets and the source code, you can check them out, work on them, check them back in. And the source control management service will, actually monitor those, provide a history of it, allow multiple people on the team to work on the same thing together, then provide mechanisms for merging it and combining it and integrating it with the rest of the project as a whole. It also does things like integrates with continuous integration to provide a central build location. So you're not building from one guy's machine where he's got the special sauce on his code and then it gets pushed out. Source control is the de facto source for the project, and it's basically it's where you keep all the your source control files. Man, that was a really roundabout way of saying that.
It's your basic history of the stuff that you've been doing. So if you have a function, say print out the, and then you save that and you commit it, which means save it down to the centralized service so everybody, or just to a source so everybody can pull that. And then you add print out the, and you add debug log to the next line. Then you could always roll that back, because if you make a mistake and that debug log thing because it's so awesome. It crashes your server. It crashes your program. You can always roll back any changes you've made, right? It's almost like an undo button, basically.
It keeps a record of your changes.
Right.
Basically. Right.
Yes.
Yeah, and again, it's a central store too, so not one compute like person's computer holds like the whole project. So if you know they take it home and the kid spills like Kool-Aid on it, it's all over.
Yeah, and that's central with an asterisk because there are like centralized version control systems and distributed version control systems, which we'll get into a little bit later. Actually, one thing that I wanted to talk about is when I first heard about version control back when I was like you know. Fresh out of college, I was like, "Oh, what's this version control thing?" I mean, I heard it when I was in college, but never really played around with it. Never had to use it for a project or anything like that. So when I got into the workforce, it was something that was like so foreign to me. And it took me a while to get used to it, but once I did, I realized like this all the advantages of using version control. And like you said, you know, having that change set and list of all your changes on a particular project. readily available and how important that was. But I guess what I want to address is just like, you know, how people are so scared to, like when you talk about Git or when you talk about other version control systems, like using the version control. Like some people are just like, I just want to work on my project and that's it. You know, it's a personal project. It's just me. I don't need version control. But I would like really, 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 really encourage everyone, regardless of where you are, regardless of your team size, regardless of your project size, to get into the habit of using version control for everything that you do, because it's going to save you a lot of time and a lot of effort in the future if you know keep up with it and get used to using version control.
Yeah, I think most people when they're single developers, and this is what I did, like even for my Xbox game or Xbox indie game that I made, and other ones, like my version control was Dropbox. Right? Because if you're a single developer, you're like, well, I mean, it's easy to get lazy with that and not care about it, but using version control even as a single developer, it can start getting the habit, so you can like immediately, if you want to, you know, expand your options and go to freelance or go into working with a company, you can integrate immediately. But also there's a lot of advantages too, because I mean there's various things, and we'll get into some of the specifics a little bit later, but with version control, where just like where you can have catastrophic failures, but if you know
right.
you're pretty consistent with your commits, right, and your pushes back to your server, you can always walk those back down. And then there's also ideas of where you have your code base, and then you make things, and I know at least in Git, and you make branches, right? So you say, I want to experiment and try something crazy here. And so he's like, I want to reverse the game and change all these things. So you make a branch. You don't change the main source of the code. You make a branch, and you start changing that. And whether it works or not, say it doesn't work, and it's like, oh, no, that didn't work. You can just throw it away and go back to your original, main branch. And that's why it can help you develop without a lot of risk as a single developer. So that's why it can be helpful.
Yes.
I'm really glad you said that earlier, Obina. You said that when you were in school, you didn't really have a lot of experience with version control. And I thought I was like the only one. When I left school, I had almost zero experience. I mean, all I had in school was they go, okay, you're going to use version control. Go.
Exactly.
And that's all I got. So when I got to the office and started working with you guys, like I had no experience. I knew what it was, but I didn't really know how to use it. I didn't know any of the interfaces to use it, and I was kind of like thrown into the deep end, so to speak.
Yeah, so. I feel like sometimes it even feels like a lot of developers are even more, you know, more interested in learning a new language or, you know, picking up Java or picking up C# or some other obscure language than, you know, picking up version control.
It's basic stuff like command line and version control.
Yeah, it's like they're scared of that. But the honest truth is, it's so much more helpful, and it's, you know, it's going to make your whole development pipeline and how you develop projects, you know, that much more efficient. And
that's why we're going over these things. Like I said, we've done these. This podcast is like kind of aimed at people of all skill levels. But we're trying to direct a lot of the topics. I mean, the interviews are different, but we're trying to direct a lot of the topics at good things that beginners should think about before they even get into the crazy stuff, like, you know, like best practices, you know, all that stuff, the UI stuff, all those things in this version control, because it's something they need to think about before they get into the fun stuff like animation, all those things we'll get into later.
Exactly. Cool.
So our first up on our one of the most popular options out there. I mean, there's a lot of options. Version control's been around for a while, and they have a lot of different systems. But one of the most popular, especially because it's sites like GitHub options, is Git. And that's something that Linus Torvald, the creator of Linux, right, that he created also because he just decided to create another industry-changing thing. You know, he's like, yeah, why not? I have spare time. Now, also, I will also make that free. So who cares? Whatever, you know. But, and it's created by him, and it's cool for a lot of reasons a lot of times because it's a distributed thing, and we'll go into explaining that. But Git has been something that has been ubiquitous, but it comes with its pros and cons. And Zach loves Git. Zach is a fan of Git.
Tell me about it.
I mean, hey, it was the first thing, type of version control I ever used. I love it.
I'm a web developer. I love Git. Git's great for web development.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, when I started working with these guys, my first assignment was, okay, here's a Mac Mini. Start learning Git.
Make us a server.
That's true.
I'm like, what?
Excuse me.
I programmed Unity. I don't know any of this, but I mean, it really wasn't as hard as I made it out to be in my head. But Git is a type of version control. It's centralized, so it's all kept on your repository is kept on the server. And when you check out the repository, it pulls a copy of that onto your local device or your computer. And then as you make changes, you commit those changes to your local copy, and then you'll push it to the server, which sends it to the master server, and then other people can pull those. And there's several different types of Git. I think there's Gitosis, there's Gitolite, I think there's GitLab, and then of course everybody uses GitHub. Not everybody, but it's one of the most popular ones.
There's servers for it.
Yeah, so one thing I guess we probably should talk about before we get into all of the different VCSs out there, VCS meaning version control systems, is distributed versus centralized. Because
abbreviation, jeez.
Because Zach mentioned centralized, and Git is, well, it's distributed and then, well, see, distributed is kind of like a fancy word because the repositories are hosted on some server, but then distributed in the sense that you can take a full copy of, like Zach was saying, and of the repository and clone it onto your machine, you know, wherever you are. So that's where the distributed comes in. Whereas centralized, everything is kept on the server, right, no matter what. There's no copy that's sent to your personal machine.
You pull down pieces, right? And then you're pulling down the thing, but you can't actually take that and run with it. It's not
exactly.
The full
you
copy
check
of
out files. You can say, "I could check out this branch, or I could check out this," and then
I have a question. And I know we're jumping ahead here, but is that kind of like how Perforce works?
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. Perforce is centralized.
Well,
right?
You do have you do have an actual full copy of
exactly.
the like what you checked out, or what you've gotten from Perforce on your machine.
Because you do have a workspace. Yeah.
You don't have the
right,
history.
You have
stuff.
A workspace. Yeah, yeah.
But you're not pulling the full repo.
Right,
right.
Like,
exactly.
With Perforce as that example, it's just on your computer. You've got the files, and they're marked, say, read only. And then, you know, the Perforce server manages all the history, all the merge, you know, all the branching, all that stuff. Whereas, like, you know, with Git, as you're saying, there's actually local mechanisms for that branching and committing and things of that nature. There's actually sort of a source control system on your personal computer as well as the centralized system, like in the cloud or wherever.
Well, because people can also be working on, like, and getting those things in parallel and try to merge them, where is a lot of those, some centralized systems have like this concept of locking out, like where you checked out that part of that file, right, where it's like I can't change that, and the merging becomes a little more structured than Git's kind of like willy-nilly,
yeah,
a little more so.
And I want to go back to what Zach was talking about a little earlier about when he was mentioning the other, he's like, types of Git, which is, he mentioned Gitosis and Git and GitHub and stuff and Gitolite. So the difference between, you know, when you say Git and when you say Gitosis or Gitolite, Gitolite is like a management. It manages Git repositories, whereas, you know, it's not a Git repository. So it manages a collection of Git repositories. And GitHub and GitLab are... they're pretty similar in the sense that, you know, you can host Git repositories on the web. They're all web applications that you install, or not. Well, GitHub you don't install, but anyway, it's a service for Git repositories. But GitLab is almost the exact same thing as GitHub, but you can host it on your own machines or on your own server and host a series of repositories there, and then also, you know, manage permissions and stuff like that. So anyway, there's a lot that we can go into GitHub, and I think we'll actually create a course or some series of tutorials that actually go through how to install GitHub and how to set up a Git repository. But that's you know, beyond the scope of this conversation.
And right before we got on tonight, real quick, the in the post, Costello actually mentioned the LFS system, the new system of like large file system in Git, because that's something we've had problems with Git in the past. Like, we're just storing huge, I mean, especially on GitHub, they have a problem doing that, but just Git in general, hosting our huge game projects where you have these, you know, PSDs, great, Photoshop files that are hundreds of megs and, you know, art assets.
Speaking of that, one of the best things you could do when you start a Git repo is to add a Git ignore. And that basically tells it to ignore some of the files, like, for instance, your library file or your temp file. And like that, I can't tell you how much of a headache that's caused me when I've worked on a Git repo that didn't have a Git ignore.
Unity,
you just get so many conflicts.
Yeah, Unity has a big problem. Bean and I, when I first started working on Bean, we had a lot of problems. We had so many problems with Git, with the files getting corrupted, that we had to just start new projects and pull all the assets in. And so there's a pretty sound system. We'll put that in the show notes, where it's a pre-made for Unity projects, an ignore file that ignores all the different files you need to, and so you don't even have to think about it. You just need to copy that into your ignore file, and you'll be fine. And ever since we've used that, I haven't had a problem whenever we use that.
Another thing with Unity is actually specific or particular about how it handles version control systems. So they actually have a nice tutorial on the Unity website that goes through how to set up your Unity project to work with different version control systems, whether it's Git, whether it's Perforce, like Ryan was talking about, and some of the other ones that we're mentioning. There's things you have to do, like sometimes you have to do visible meta files. Not sometimes, pretty much every time you need to make sure it's visible meta files and stuff like that. But again, we'll put that in the show notes so you know exactly how to set up your project. And again, we'll do a tutorial in the future about some of these version control systems.
And real quick, before we get to Perforce and other one, this is a good opportunity just to take an aside for a second, where we talked about you would check out you clone the file or clone the repo and you'd make changes and you'd push that back to your server. And basically what that's doing, it's doing something called merging it back into the source file. So if you have code files, it's analyzing the changes, and if it can merge it without conflict, where it's like, this doesn't make sense, you know, you change this and also this, it'll merge it without conflict, and that's fine.
That's true. Hey, but, actually, sorry. you bring up a good point that we've kind of been throwing around a lot of verbiage that may not make any sense. Like branching, we've mentioned merging. You know, that someone may not have anything, even like pushing and committing, like what that kind of stuff is.
We'll do it real quick. So if you clone, if you're cloning, so in Git terms, if you're cloning a repo or a repository, you're pulling all that, you're basically copying that whole repo to your computer, which it includes all the code, but it also includes all of the versions that it's holding. Say you make changes in that, you commit your changes, that means you're kind of putting them on deck to save, and then you push them, which means you're saving them back to the original server.
Well, committing saves them to your local copy, and then pushing it basically sends your local copy to the server where it stores it.
Right. And then, what's the other one? Branching. Branching we talked about, it's almost like you're making another copy of all your files and saying, I want to try. Usually you branch when you want to try an experiment. And it's like, this is just a copy that I'm just a work copy that I'm messing with. If I want to mess with that and merge it back in, which means combining the code together, and, you know, then I can do that, or I can just throw away that branch.
Go ahead.
I was just to say, while I was mentioning about the branching, that branching usually takes place at a certain point in time. Like you pick another thing called a change set, which a change set is just basically the current
state. This is a Pandora's box. What are we doing?
Yeah, we're going to keep rolling down this hole. But no, a change set is just like the where the source code is at a certain point of time. Say like Obina checks in, Andrew checks in, Ryan checks in. Like, you know, my last check-in is like the change set is the last change set and reflects the current state of the code, whereas like when Obina checked in, it's one before me and like just the previous state of it. So say maybe you want to branch off from what Obina did and didn't want my changes, you know, you could branch from that change set from that point in time and start going off and doing crazy
stuff. Not
going
to lie, my eyes just crossed.
Exactly, okay. Right.
I'm sorry. You guys just told me to shut up or keep it simpler, because I'll just start going blah, blah, blah.
We'll put some, there's some really great intro to Git or other version control stuff. We'll put that in the show notes.
Yeah.
I just wanted to mention real quick, just conceptually, like when we're talking about merging and you're merging code, that's easy to understand. You're merging two text files together. And where we've had problems specifically for Unity in the past is that when you have scene files, you know, you have your scene files. And if two people work in different scene files, you can't actually really merge those effectively. And that's a problem. That's an ongoing problem. And they've addressed some of that with Unity 5, right? We talked about that, and we saw that in the keynote at Unite.
Yeah, nothing they. Mm-hmm.
But I don't think they put it in yet. They talked about how they want to address it, where they kind of make it much more modular, how you can merge. But I don't think they've done all that yet, right?
Not all yet. And then they also tried with the, you know, making scene files text files to help out, but that wasn't. I mean, it wasn't like a foolproof solution.
No, it's not foolproof, but at least you can kind of see, like, oh, somebody sort of changed this reference. But you're right, it doesn't completely handle it.
So that's the big problem with, I mean, it's easy to, like I said, for web development, it's easy. It's just all text files. And text files merging is easy because if there's conflicts where two different codes don't match, you can always, that's the one I want. But with scene files, you know, for your Unity game files, like, the metadata doesn't match, or some of these binary files doesn't match, and you can't actually decode that. So you can't actually control what that conflict is. So that's something to think about, and that's a problem. That's a part of a workflow solution that is ongoing, and we're all trying to figure it out sometimes in different ways. So you kind of have to kind of coordinate with whoever you're working on actual scenes with. Like, sometimes you can't work in scenes at the same time. That's just the reality sometimes.
And just to, before we move on again to Perforce, because Git is such a huge thing, as far as like application that you use to interface with the Git, there's you could use your Git command line, you could use GitHub, but there's also things like Tortoise SVN, there's SourceTree from Atlassian, is that who makes that?
Yeah,
Tower.
There's the Tower, Tower for Mac, Mac OS. That's just a couple of applications you could use to interface with this Git system.
So we used to have problems with Git in a lot of ways for that file system. You know, we had corrupt files, and we kind of figured out a little bit. But we also, that made us start looking. And one of the ones, the other solutions we found is one that a lot of game companies use. I think the majority of game mid to AAA game companies use for their version curl with Unity, and that's Perforce.
Yeah, Perforce is, it's like you said, it's used by quite a bit of them. And that's, it's more, I guess, it's more centralized than, say, Git. Like we were talking about before, there's no sort of, clone of the source control system on your local computer. It's, you'll actually check out the file set or get the workspace, which is a local copy on your computer. And all those files, generally those files will be like marked as read only, and you will check those out and work on them as you see fit. And when you're done, you'll, check those back into the server. So it's basically like, you're pushing just your local copy back up to the server, and then the server is handling all the history and all the like sort of versioning of your project. And I'm just going to go ahead and like wrap Team Foundation Server in with this, because there's another one we were wanting to talk about tonight.
No!
You don't want to talk about it, or you don't want to just...
No, I'm just kidding. I'm just messing with it.
Well, just conceptually, they're very similar systems, because Team Foundation Server is the same way. You know, it's like all your sources hosted on a server, and you can actually just pull it down locally. It locks them, you edit them, submit them, etc. Team Foundation Server is heavily integrated into the Microsoft environment, which isn't to say Perforce is not. They have plenty of plugins for Unity as well as Visual Studio, which make your life very easy for managing those files. It'll even say when you start editing something, automatically
you
check it
that.
Out. hey, user error notwithstanding.
You're right. But Perforce is really nice when you use it with those Unity plugins. But I think when you don't use it with those plugins, it can be kind of a bear, because you have to go and manually check out all the files you want to edit, whereas the plugin actually does that automatically for you. You could forget to check things out and then go to try to edit, and then, oh no, I can't edit this file because I forgot.
Yeah, and there's actually another... So, I've learned another methodology for that, which is you can actually say mark your workspace as like writable, so it doesn't mark them all as read-only. and actually then go and say reconcile offline changes, and that'll show you like maybe where you haven't checked something out in particularly, but you have changed it. So that kind of gets around the problem we were having where it's like, oh man, every time I try to do something, it's marked as, you know, read only and I can't edit it. Like, you know, the art team was having trouble with Maya, you know, it's like its plugin was bust. They couldn't get that plugin working. Yeah, yeah. So they had to manually go find every little thing and check it out. So, mm-hmm. I mean, so there are solutions to it, but anyway, Team Foundation servers, you know, and Perforce, both very good version control systems. I've used them both. I don't know. People sometimes hate on Microsoft stuff. I thought Team Foundation Server worked pretty well. So, and
oh, and that one ties other con- you mentioned the artist stuff real quick. That's that's just part of a larger workflow issue. That, I mean, there's not a better, I mean, there's not a actually right or wrong answer, because some people right. have different solutions. Because, I mean, I know where we work, we actually combine the whole repo. What we used to do, or we still do, I guess, is that we would have this huge folder and it'd have all the art assets, all the, you know, the code files, everything. And then a lot of companies do the exact opposite, where they have a repo just for the project file. So it's mm-hmm. like the root base of that Unity project file is the, you know, the repo, and then they have one that's just for the artist. And that's, I've always thought that was kind of an advantageous thing, because you don't have two people messing with the same, you know, repos. But right. know, there's pros and cons of both. So like that's also not an answer we can give, because I mean there's successful games made with both of those workflows.
Yeah.
So
yeah, and I mean I'll say the one advantage of like having the assets separate as an engineer, you don't have to pull down all those huge art assets. Know what I mean?
It's 40 like, gigs oh my God. Of stuff. Yeah,
exactly. It's like I just wanted the source code and the production stuff. I don't
like
need
the game
the rest
files are 400 gig or 400 megs. I don't need 80 gigs of stuff.
Exactly.
Another thing that when Ryan was talking about the Team Foundation server and how, you know, tightly woven it is into the Microsoft ecosystem, that's another, I guess, not a disadvantage, but another aside, is that that Team TFS or Team Foundation server is like for Windows only, whereas Git and Perforce and actually Plastic SEM, which is another VCS, is, you know, platform independent, so it works on your Mac and works on your Windows as well. So I think TF or Team Foundation Server is something you had to use only for Windows machines. But to actually segue to Plastic SEM, you know, a lot of the issues that we had with Git and even with Perforce and handling those.
And you
huge...
use Plastic on your one of your other projects, right?
Oh, yes, yes. I mean, that's why I fell in, that's how and when I fell in love with Plastic SEM. It just handles these large binary files. You know, I'm working on this MMO, so we have huge files. We have
to
huge,
be teased, you know, soon, right?
Not yeah, yet. Yeah, exactly. Get to be discussed.
Get hyped. Hype train, debug loggers.
Exactly. Get excited. You know, I'll be talking about that more in detail in the future. But, you know, Plastic SEM has been, you know, a godsend for us as far as, you know, asset management. And if you go to their website, they talk about how, you know, all the advantages of it, like whether it's handling big files, big binary files, and how they even do merging of binary files and diffs against files. So and when I say diffs, it's like differentiating, you know, changes in a file. So there's like, if you could think, you can like I guess have two image files, say if you edited two image files, it actually shows you visually what the changes
oh,
were.
That's
so
cool.
If you had blue on this one and red, you know, paint on another one, it would show you the differences there visually.
Well, that's in opposition to like we talked about, what I mentioned before, when you compare those in Git and it's like these binaries, like, well, these zeros and ones are different than this image. Well,
like, yeah, you'll see like the difference actually, in the bytes in the file. Right. Actually, like, I don't know what that is.
Exactly. So
in
Plastic
tower,
SEM.
I was just about to say, you said it shows you in the bytes, but actually in tower, which is the interface to Git that I use in Mac OS, mm-hmm. it will actually compete. Show you the changes in the text file. So, for instance, I was editing a file that somebody else had just edited and committed recently, and it showed me what I had added and what he had added, and it showed me which, like the merge result of that as well.
Does it? So, but it doesn't show it on images though, right? On binary.
No, not in an image representation right. like that. It just shows the text.
Yeah,
so
yeah. That's almost like a requirement
common,
for.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, that's like a requirement for version control systems to be able to differentiate two mm-hmm. files. Otherwise, it can't do its job.
Exactly.
Quick plug. While we're on diffing files, a little program called Beyond Compare. Just it's a standalone. It doesn't
like the name.
That's cute. Yeah, that's cute.
Yeah, it's and it's I've used it over the years, and it can integrate with some of these other source control systems like Team Foundation. I think even Perforce. But it's by Scooter Software, and it's just a great diff and merge tool. You can do it line by line. You can either take blocks of diffs and move them around between files. Or compare whole directories. It's pretty slick. So that's my quick endorsement of Beyond Compare.
And it's Beyond
cool,
Compare.
Cool.
It is.
I'm sorry, I had to say that.
It's awesome.
Oh, dork.
Cue rolling out.
Another thing that we mentioned offline and we need to talk about online is just on the show is that how Unity, you know, used to have the asset server. Well, I think they still do, but it's not really supported. It's a legacy system, which was their version of version control.
Their attempted version for a while.
Yeah, attempted a version control. I mean, it was good in a sense, and then, but you know, it worked well.
I mean, I used it at Cartoon Network on our project. We used it there on those projects, and it served its purpose pretty well, actually.
That's true. In our beginning projects at the company worked at now, that's the version control system we use for like, you know, 8 or 9 projects until we started moving towards Git. So
until they stopped kind of supporting it, basically.
Yeah, exactly. It was when they stopped supporting it, that's when we moved on. So
it's cool. I mean, and that's the thing. I mean, to wrap it up, it's like the version control is a bigger deal. And like we said, each of these different solutions, it's one of those topics, like I said, there's not a right or wrong answer. It's really what it works for your team or yourself individually. You know, whether it's like you want to have a distributed thing, whether you want to have a really simple thing, I mean, or you want to have something that's a much more elaborate and Perforce or whatever it is, it's something that we would advocate if you're just a single developer out there, an individual developer just making a game, putzing around with code, start using it, because really it's one of those things in game development, it's a habit-based, you know, behavior. Like if you just get in the habit of, you know, committing at the end of the day, pushing all that stuff, it'll become something that's just second nature. And one, like I said, you can interact with a whole professional world of game developers out there that work at companies or mid-sized developers or AAA developers that you can integrate immediately, get a job, or, you know, do freelance. But it also, there's so much stuff. You can start doing, you can become a version control wizard in your own time.
Yes.
You commit the time to do it.
Yeah, speaking of getting jobs, like a lot of jobs out there now are just looking for your GitHub account.
You know, absolutely. Yeah, that's a showcase.
That's true, yeah.
That's right.
Exactly. It's like, give me your GitHub account. You know, that's the thing they will accept. You either have like an online profile or you give me your GitHub account.
Well, that's it.
So get in the habit of, you know, pushing to GitHub or pushing to your own personal Git so you can keep track of all that stuff. It's good for, you know, any future endeavors you may have career-wise.
Well,
so.
Well, that's a good point because, I mean, usually, GitHub is the kind of the industry standard now for open source projects.
Yeah.
I mean, they had Bitbucket. They still have Bitbucket, but now Google Code died out, deprecated it. So, but GitHub, like that's what you're saying, a lot of employers look at what open source projects you've, you know, pull request and contributed to.
Yeah.
And a lot of libraries, you know, a lot of fun, you know, cool, like, we mentioned in the last episode, in the Asset Store episode, the UI kit.
The Go kit
that I use all the time. I didn't find that in Asset Store. It was a cheat. It's on the Asset Store. But where I found it originally was GitHub because it's open source. So like you find a lot of cool Unity stuff on there. And if you're contributing to that, that's a big thing. And it's also part of outside of just getting a job or getting involved in a project. It's a good way to get involved in the community, really getting fluent with version control.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Go ahead.
I was just saying that getting fluent with version control and engaging with the community, it's good because you're able to learn from people's codes. Like if you're looking at open source projects, you're going to learn how people are coding.
It's out there
for
you.
What best practices are. Exactly.
Right. Yeah.
So, I mean, you've
got so many advantages.
Yeah. I mean, standing on the shoulders of giants, like that's the, like.
Preach.
Right. I mean, there's people that are, I mean, much smarter than all of us on this podcast that have contributed code, and there's these code bases that are great. They're there for you just to look at. You can go examine them and do whatever you want with them and, you know, do pull requests or branch. You can branch them and start your own little library and say, I don't like this. I want to focus more on graphics or something.
Yeah,
you know?
Isn't that like how WordPress came about? It was open source project and then they pulled it and they branched from it and then they built WordPress.
Yeah, that's how a lot of projects start. Yeah.
Yoink. Some of Unity's some of Unity's code is actually open source and you can get on GitHub. I think they're
UI kit. Your UI library is, right?
Yeah. Exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
I pulled that and
Oh, and we talked about part.
So, like, we pulled that and tried to look at it. I don't think. Yeah.
one of the things I will mention is I did pull the UI library, and one of the biggest issues that they have, I think, would be on buttons. When you scroll over it, it has a hover state, but if you click and then drag out and release your click, it stays highlighted. But I went and found that portion in their code, and there's just a little comment that says, to do, fix this.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing,
you should pull it and fix it, Zach.
Yeah, you should contribute to it, Zach. There you go. Do it.
Yeah, don't just sit there and laugh at it. Fix it.
Exactly.
Yeah. How many developers have seen that to do and be like, ha, that's funny, and then moved on? You could be the dude that fixes it.
Exactly. Well, there are workarounds for it. Like, for instance, instead of using
it. Yeah, don't work around it. Yeah.
Don't put another bucket under the leaky sink.
Yeah, don't put a band-aid on this, Zach. Fix it. Step up. All right. Sorry, Zach. I didn't mean to. All right.
No, you meant to. It's okay.
It's okay.
That's another dream that we crushed in this episode.
Yeah. So version control, it's a big thing, and hopefully we didn't scare people that are beginners away from it. It's not hard. It really isn't. I mean, we talked about a lot of stuff because we're trying to cover a lot of things, but it's pretty simple. I mean, you need to learn about six terms, really, right? And about eight different commands, and that's it. And you got it. It's not a big deal. And usually you have GUIs and stuff and interfaces and applications to help you through it. And with the example of Perforce and other things like that, I mean, they have plugins and stuff that do it in Unity. But usually, too, for the individual, because that's who I'm talking to, because a lot of people in teams probably already know this, you know, because they have to use it. But the individuals, a lot of these things like Perforce hosting or actual, you know, Plastic or those things, for one user, it's free. Usually for like 5 to 10 users, it's free, so it's not going to cost you anything either.
Right on.
Good. Cool.
I sold it.
Exactly.
I'm buying.
And if you call in the next 10 minutes, you can actually receive a free bath sponge. All right, sorry.
Ooh. All
right. Well, ooh, that's good. All right, before we leave tonight, we can't go without mentioning the special time of the night.
Ryan.
What is it?
Game of the week.
Thank you.
That hurt my soul.
Tonight's game of the week is Goddess. Goddess
by 22 Cans.
Right, and that's Peter Molyneux's studio. He used to be the head, you know, the head of Lionhead Studios. He's
the
guy.
Black and White.
Yeah, Black and White and what is that? Poly.
Wait, was it?
Populous, Black and White, and then all the Fable games. I love Fable 2. Fable 2 is a wonderful game. And you know, he's kind of much misaligned game developer because he has a reputation of making these huge promises and then not following up. But I like him. I think he's a fun guy. But he started this new company. First, he made that one game, which is about tapping the box or whatever. And this is their second game. The guy who won that was supposed to be the god of this Goddess game. But Goddess is a god game that Zach played, right?
Yes. It's more of like I guess it's a simulation and management kind of game. So basically you act as the god to a bunch of followers, and you have the ability to sculpt land. As you move this land, you open up space, and then you make more dwellings. The more dwellings you have, the more followers you get. And the happier they are, the more they reproduce, and the more worship you get, which allows you to move more land, and it's that whole big cycle. And it's actually really cool the way you can move the land.
Yeah, the sculpting part was the coolest part, so yeah. I really like that.
Yeah, and so what we'll do is this is a plug for our YouTube channel that we just launched. We'll get to that in a second. But we're going to start doing our YouTube. Like, we'll start going in-depth on some of these Game of the Weeks and other games, and maybe not even Unity games, but we'll do playthroughs and start, you know, breaking down the mechanics, breaking it down is what we're going to call it, and all these other kind of things that we can, from a developer's perspective, like, say, you know, what went into making these games. So, but Goddess will be one of them. So, cool. Word it's up. Cool. Check it out. How much is it on the App Store? Is it free? I think it's free.
It is free.
Yes.
And it's on the mobile app. You can get it on PC, Mac, I think, as well. So, go download it. Play it. It's fun.
Cool. All right. Well, let's make this short. If you want to, the big thing we're pushing now is we'll push a couple things. of course, our website's at thedebuglog.com. That's where you can see all the posts for, you know, the episodes are there, and you can connect to our Reddit page or our Google Plus page, which has nobody.
Hey, we actually have a follower today.
Yeah, we're getting some people.
Hey, we got two now?
We're in total of three.
Our Twitter page, which we're getting retweeted by Unity guys. We're getting... They're listening. And in Facebook and stuff. But hi. We're going to start putting more posts in there, not just the episode posts. But if you go on there and you sign up for our newsletter, The Loop, which the second episode is about to come out pretty soon, you can get access to our Facebook group. It's called the Debug Lounge, and that's where we have, you know, it's just a collection of developers sharing stories, sharing experiences, asking for advice. And, you know, we're going to start, you know, we have a couple of theme days where we can all share what we're working on, you know, maybe, what is the Wednesdays?
Work in progress Wednesdays.
You know, we have Throwback Thursdays. We have Unity Tips Tuesdays, right?
Screenshot Saturday.
Throwback, yeah, all that stuff. We'll work on that stuff, but it's going to be a party there every week. So
it's a party.
Yeah, but we've already started. We just started 2 weeks ago, and we already have a few developers just interacting and really getting into discussion going and asking questions. So hopefully it'll be a really useful resource for everybody. Before we go, the next thing I want to just promote really quickly is our YouTube page. We have one video. Yay! One video.
It's the best video ever.
Yes. But we plan to promote and actually push a lot of other YouTube, you know, series and videos out there. The first video is our Unity Tips and Scripts series. We have the illustrious Zach giving a really good tip, and everybody loves the tip. It's about assigning multiple variables in the editor and the inspector, right? And he did a great job with that, and it's actually a fun tip that I didn't know actually when I watched it, so I was like, awesome. So, and people were responding to that. We got a lot of traction. That's what we got retweeted from Unity, so we're super excited. But just check out there. Go to the YouTube. It's I don't know, but just go to our YouTube page and search for it and actually subscribe to that, because we have big plans for that page to do some fun stuff. We have our fantasy football that you need to join, fantasy, the Debug League. But,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, a lot of exciting stuff coming forward. I don't want to start talking. I can talk for 20 minutes at the end of the show about all the stuff we're promoting. But
and you will.
Yeah. So, yeah, exactly.
Wrap all that stuff. Facebook, YouTube. YouTube's big news. So celebrate that. Go watch the video. Check it out. Send Zach a comment. Give him a compliment. Yes.
Micro Machines.
Yeah, he deserves it. It was awesome. Yes. All right, guys. Cool. Version control.
Bam.
Commit, push, done. All right,
done. No, there
well,
you go.
Stage, commit, pull, and push.
Stage, oh, Mr. Technical.
No, wait, pull, then push. What are you doing? You're just churning.
We've already pulled it. We pulled it at the beginning. We're staging it, pushing it.
All right, all right, all right.
Well,
let's wrap it up.
All right. Well, until next time. My name's Andrew.
I'm Obina.
I'm Zach.
I'm Ryan.
You're supposed to go in front of him, Ryan.
Yeah, you won that.
Oh, that's
third
right.
Place.
I took over the third spot.
Yeah, well, so right.
Now you did it. You lost
and
now, it
now.
It's
okay. I slapped him off, man. It's okay. Put him back in his place.
All right, Zach killed it and he kept it. All right. We'll see you next time.
All right. Bye.
Fucking things up.
No, we don't have to use it. I'm sorry, it just makes my life about 8 hours easier, but I'll just not use it.
I'll just tack on an extra eight.
Well,
don't worry.
No, dude, Andrew, I understand. I'm sorry. It's like, but it's very hard to like actually communicate during the podcast when like
who cares
everybody's
about the quality
out
of the show? I just care about getting it done.
Yeah, I just want to produce a thing.
I just want to produce. He's doing
all right,
a skateboard trick.
Yes.
He said stop recording.
Oh, my
oh,
God.
Oh, the cat. Oh,
oh. Oh, shit.
There's the cat pooping on the floor. What is he doing?
Oh,
Why was the cat trying to poop in the toilet? What is it doing?
I don't know.
Ew, that is so nasty.